with this fellowship, and we're looking at the story in Exodus that I gather you've already started with. We're picking it up here in chapter 5. So I'll begin reading from the start of chapter 5. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord, our God. Or he may strike us with plagues or with a sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." So Moses and his brother Aaron have been commissioned by God to stand up to Pharaoh on behalf of the Israelites, to ask him to let my people go. This is a big request, even though at this stage it's just for a bank holiday weekend to go and worship God. To Pharaoh, the Israelites are just slaves to be worked to death. But to God,
Exodus 4,
to God, they are my people. He loves them and cares about them and has plans for them, which include freedom from oppression, freedom to worship, freedom to enjoy the beauty of creation out in the wilderness. There is no reconciling these opposite views of who the Israelites are. Pharaoh is adamant. He says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go?" But the Lord is equally adamant concerning the needs of his people. And as we shall see, as we study this book, he is going to win in the end. The powers of this world may get their way for a while, and it seems a long while, but it is not forever. However, things are going to get worse before they get better. Let's read on. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the people, so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says, 'I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all.' So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, 'Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw.' And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, 'Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?' Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh, 'Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people.' Pharaoh said, 'Lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. The Old Testament is about events which took place over 3,000 years ago, and yet it all has a familiar ring. These days, we call it targets and productivity. The workers have to produce the same output in less time, with fewer resources and more administrative overload. The top management don't give an inch, just criticise them for being lazy. And in between, the supervisors are in trouble, criticised from both sides, looking in their turn for someone to blame. So they pick on the technicians, Moses and Aaron. And Moses and Aaron, what do? They blame God. Moses returned to the Lord and said, why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Shifting the responsibility. It happened all those years ago, just as it does now. The world may have changed, but people haven't. And this is why it's worth studying the Old Testament, as you are doing in this series through Exodus. I know of people who feel it's a bit of a waste of time, that we should stick to the New Testament, with its clear story of Jesus and the church and the message of salvation. But the Old Testament deals with other matters that the New Testament doesn't have room for, but which are also important as we seek to follow God out in the world. So even though the Old Testament can be hard to make sense of at times, it's worth persevering with it if we want to get to know God's ways in more breadth and depth. So it is here. Slavery in ancient Egypt seems at first sight to be a far cry from working for a wage in industrial Teesside. But look beneath the surface and the issues are much the same. And the people are much the same. And we are much the same. Looking for someone to blame, even if in the end, all we can do is grumble to God about it. Meanwhile, let's get back to the story. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God, Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and hard labour. Moses needs some encouragement, and God gives him some encouragement. Notice that although Moses grumbled at God, God doesn't seem to mind. It is okay to grumble to God. It's better than grumbling to other people. If you read the Psalms, probably a good half of them are people grumbling to God about one thing or another. He can take it. And look at how he replies. First, there's a reassuring promise. Now you will see what I will do. He will let them go. And it will not just be for a bank holiday worship festival, but once and for all, out of his country for good. Then there is reminding Moses of just who God is. I am the Lord, he says, and have been right back to the days of your distant ancestors, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, 4 centuries earlier. I made promises to them, which are now about to be fulfilled. Promises of land, of covenant, and most of all, of God's presence with them. And now it's about to get even better. You may be groaning as slaves of the Egyptians, but I, your Lord, have heard. And I'm about to do something about it. I'm going to set you free. Verse 7, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. The promise is about to be fulfilled, and that's good news. But the Israelites are not yet ready to hear it. When Moses reported this to the Israelites, they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and hard labour. They have a long way to go to get to the promised land, not just geographically, but also psychologically and spiritually. They have been so beaten down for so many generations that they just cannot hear these words of hope. Not yet, anyway. And this is our experience, isn't it? Just as it was theirs. Sometimes we can be so discouraged that we fail to hear God's words. Or, hearing them, we fail to believe them and live in them. That's human nature. But God knows that. He allows for it. And he sticks with us. He perseveres. That is the take-home message, I believe, from this book of Exodus. God does not give up on us. And in the end, the pharaohs of this world will let my people go, even though they don't want to. Stick around for the rest of this series to see just how it pans out. Meanwhile, let's read on. So from verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country. But Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips? Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. They were the clans of Reuben, and so on, until verse 25. Eleazar, son of Aaron, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These were the heads of the Levite families, clan by clan. It was this Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. This same Moses and Aaron. So what do we make of these lists of names which crop up all the way through the Old Testament? We tend to skip over them, just as I have. But perhaps their value is this. They show us that God knows each of us by name, just as he knew each of them by name. No one is too unimportant or too unpronounceable to be known to God, to have their place in his plan. And that's worth knowing. So, on to the last section for today. Now, when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, "I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you." But Moses said to the Lord, "Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt with mighty acts of judgment. I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. So Moses needs a bit more encouragement. He has, as he puts it, faltering lips. He's not a confident public speaker. Maybe he has a stammer or some other speech impediment. "That doesn't matter," says God. "Let your brother Aaron speak for you." And here is a model for God's people in every generation. Because none of us is good at everything. We've all of us got our weak points. And that is why the body of Christ is so important. Together, we can do God's work in ways which none of us can as individuals. Moses and Aaron made a team, each contributing their own strengths, and God used them. But it's not all plain sailing, certainly not at first. As we'll see next week, there had to be a lot of plagues before Pharaoh and the Egyptians were persuaded to let my people go. There would be signs and wonders, but Pharaoh took no notice because God, it says, had hardened his heart. And this is perhaps the most puzzling verse in all of today's passage. What does it mean? How does God harden someone's heart? Why does God harden someone's heart? Perhaps, as it suggests a few verses later, it's so that eventually the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. It would be a hard and long journey for them, but they would come to know something eventually which they didn't know yet. But I think there's more to it than that. However, I will leave that to other preachers to go deeper into. So we come to the final paragraph, which is perhaps the most important of all. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. And that's what each of us needs to do, in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Probably different from the situation Moses and Aaron were in, possibly harder. But we can always ask God what to do. Listen to what he says, in whatever way he chooses to tell us, through the Bible, through the advice of friends, through dreams and visions, through God speaking to us in our hearts. And then we can do it. That's it. That's what we need to do. And the final sentence of encouragement, Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. I know that some of you are older than 83, but it tells me, however old we are, God can still use us. He still has a purpose for our lives, and we can learn what it is and do it. And that's good to know. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this story about the difficulties of the Israelite workers, about the work that Moses and Aaron had to do, about the way that you were leading your people, the way that you were going to let them go. Didn't look like it at first, Lord, and often the promises that you give us don't look as if they're working out for a while. But let us take hope from this whole story of Exodus, that it did work out in the end, even though they had to go through difficulties just as we have to go through difficulties. Help us to take hope and to keep faith in your love, Lord. Amen.